You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Ollie Pimlott to look ahead to the best of Friday's racing. Four races at Doncaster coming up, day three of the St. Ledger Festival on Town Moor, and four good races to go at as well. We'll get to them in just a moment. First things first, hello Mr. Pimlott.
Hello Alex Dunn.
Are you alright?
Always a pleasure, isn't it?
Always. Never a chore. Some good racing tomorrow, isn't there?
Yeah, some belting racing. Say probably a substandard Doncaster Cup for a Group 2. Very historic race, but wouldn't be the warmest of affairs, but thoroughly competitive. If you can find the winners tomorrow, you will be rewarded with some good prices, because it's probably not the strongest of cars. In years gone by, I think we've had some stronger races on tomorrow's card, but as I say, it is thoroughly competitive, and if you do find the winners tomorrow, you will be well rewarded.
Rory DeLaghi did Thursday's racing podcast, and yes, the amount of runners were phenomenal. I think it was 20, 20, 22 and another large number. Less runners tomorrow, but the quality's still there, even though you said it's still very hard. It is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll get to those in just a moment. We'll just have a look back at yesterday. Of course, it was the Ledger Legends race on the first day of the meeting, and surprise, surprise, that man, AP McCoy, wins again. Even when he's retired, he just doesn't stop winning, does he?
He didn't really have a moment's worry either.
No.
It travelled like the best horse in the race, and when push came to shove, he won pretty convincingly. And when the Billy Nunes in second started easing down at the furlong pole, you definitely knew you'd won.
Yeah.
I don't think it made a difference, to be honest, but yeah, he still looked as good as ever, did AP.
Well, I mean, in those races, it often pays to follow the jockey, if you like. But I was quite keen on Commissar yesterday with Johnny Murtagh on board. But if the horse isn't good enough, then
it's like driving a car.
Yeah.
If you're driving a Morris Minor, if Lewis Hamilton's driving a Morris Minor and you're in a Ferrari, the Ferrari will probably win, Alex.
Not if I'm driving it all, but
no,
most people that applies to, yeah. I mean, you beat AP once, didn't you?
Twice, Alex.
Twice? Did you actually? Yeah.
Not a short head, though.
Okay. Nice. Have you got that photo at home? The photo finish?
It's in a few frames.
We also heard signed by yourself.
Yeah. God, his autograph's worth nothing.
But again, if he comes to riding it again next year, he'll be the favourite again, won't he?
Yeah,
he will be. He's just the best jockey.
I like the fact that that they say the jockeys are drawn out of hats, which, given some of the jockey bookings, I don't think that was quite the case, do you?
No, maybe not. Maybe not. But a great spectacle.
And of course, we had our own legend in the race, the Gibbo.
The Gibbo was in the race. Actually, I didn't see where he finished.
I didn't see where the Gibbo
I never heard it mentioned.
No. I'm sure if he'd finished anywhere, the Gibbo would have told us.
He probably would have done, but I'm sure he'll be in soon to regale us with his tales. Yeah. Other news, Tiggy Wiggy's been retired. Just not the same horse, was she, this year?
No, I mean, she was last year's champion, two-year-old, very, very quick filly. She won all but two of her eight starts last season. She won the Lowther, of course, at York, and the Group 1 Cheveley Park at Newmarket. She's just not trained on. She's not the biggest. I mean, I think they did exceedingly well for her to place in the 1,000 guineas where she finished third. Mm. And in the first start of the season, she was third in the Fred Darling, wasn't she? But since then, she's not really trained on. They've dropped her back to sprinting trips and taking on the colts and the three-year-old. She's just not quite lived up to expectations. But she goes to the sales now at the end of the year, and I'm sure she's going to make a hell of a lot of money as a broodmare.
Yeah, no problem with that, though. I mean, you get horses that are just so quick as two-year-olds. It's not they're disappointing as three-year-olds. They're just bred to...
Yeah, bred to be very quick early two-year-olds. And that's what she was. But she was a very quick two-year-old. My best memory was a Lowther. Had a pretty decent bet on her that day. And once again, pretty much like AP yesterday, you never really had much of a worry in it.
No, she was a very, very good horse. And it's good to see her retired at the right time as well. Not to just continue in the hope that something will happen and her to end up you know, running in.
And the same applies to old Tak de Blastron, who, of course, was retired as well yesterday. He's retired in one piece. Won two Royal Oaks. Australian Openers, obviously. They sent him over to Australia. Wasn't quite as good as expected, but came over here. Loved the soft ground. And, of course, he excelled at the end of the season in France. And it's good to see him retired in one piece as well. So two pretty big retirements yesterday.
We've got, obviously, the big races coming up on Saturday, the St. Ledger and the Irish Champion. Two fantastic races. Just quickly on the Irish Champion, it's looking a bit... Well, potentially, it could be a fantastic race. We talked about this yesterday. But in terms of the... Are the declarations through now? I think they will be, won't they? Recording this at 1 o'clock on Thursday. Just having a look now... Yeah, the official declarations are through, and we do have Golden Horn for Eagle and Glen Eagles. Whether they all actually turn up is another matter. But, I mean, you look at the eight-gate lineup. Sirius de Zegler, Free Eagle, the Grey Gatsby, Glen Eagles, Golden Horn, Highland Reel, Found, and Placecock. They are all lovely horses. There are no horses in there that anyone could have much bad to say
about.
There's going to
be no place to hide. But given the price of Glen Eagles all week and the forecast... Again, I find it pretty unlikely he's going to run. He's drifted all week. He's actually, Hill's going on running no bet, you've got to back the Glen Eagles for me. Had a far lighter campaign than most of these. Missed York, of course, where the Golden Horn had a hard race in pretty testing going. I think he's around about 4-1, 5-1 now with Hills.
I'd be amazed if he runs the Ollie.
That's why you need the non-runner no bet. But at that sort of price, an incredibly good price.
Yeah. Sirius de Zegler at a bigger price if the rain does come. I mean,
he needs the rain.
You think?
Yeah.
But if it does come,
he's in with a chance. But I still think
tasty price.
I still think Golden Horn is definitely the one to beat. He's going to
really
get his ground. Golden Horn for me. I think he'll redeem himself after York.
Okay. We are now non-runner money back. Glen Eagles,
right.
5-1.
Massive price then. You back him each way. 50 odds place 1-2-3. Could well be a non-runner in there. There's eight runners at the minute. It's still going to get you place 1-2-3, even if there's seven runners.
Yeah. All right, then. So Glen Eagles for you at fives.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably be with Sirius de Zegler at tens, to be honest, each way.
Great Gatsby. Can you look at him? Big price, 9-1.
It's
won the race last year. It is a belting race.
And the Ledger, just very, very quickly. Thoughts on that? I wouldn't have said it's a vintage renewal, if you like, this year.
No, it's pretty similar to tomorrow's Doncaster Cup in that it's hardly a vintage renewal. I hope the Haggis horse wins. He's had a hard season, saw him the stars, but I think he's the class act in the race.
Yeah.
Obviously there's a bit of controversy over him keeping the race at York, but on official ratings he is clear of Orders of St. George, who is our clear favourite now. But I'd like to see Storm the Stars to win, and I think the step up to a mile and six should be right up his street by See the Stars. I think he just looks a thorough stayer. And he does get himself pretty worked up. You just hope the race isn't one race too much. We saw him in France where he got very worked up. He was very coltish in the paddock and threw the race away before he even started. But wait for the day. Wait to see how he behaves in the paddock. See, he does sweat up a substantial amount anyway, but just see how he goes down to post. But he'd be the one I'd be siding with tentatively at the minute. It wouldn't be a great betting race for me.
No. All right, then. We'll move on to Friday's racing, and we'll start with the 155 from Doncaster. It's the Flying Childers Stakes, a Group 2 over 5 furlongs. Of course, last year, this was the race that Cotai Glory threw away, unseating George Baker just before the line. Hopefully, we won't have anything like that this year. We'll start with Gutafan, the likely market leader for Richard Hannon and Frankie Dettori. All about speed, isn't he? And he hasn't done a great deal wrong today, second in the pre-morning last time.
No, he doesn't win by much, this horse, but he keeps improving and he keeps winning. He completed a hat-trick in the pre-Robert Papin at Maison Lafitte. That was a Group 2. Then he was clear of the rest when second to Shalara in a Group 1 at Deauville next time. Sets a clear standard since then. Of course, Frankie Dettori has come out and said that Shalara's the best two-year-old he's ridden. So, you know, very heady comments. And if you look at the official ratings, Alex, he's miles clear. £8 clear of Irene, who's the second highest rated on the 106. He races off level weights with him, 9-1. I think he's a very rock-solid favourite. The one that might well put it up to him is Bare Cheek. Only had the two starts, justified really strong confidence when making a winning debut at Nace, and then followed up in good style in the Group 3 at the Curra since. Looks a really smart prospect, has to be considered. We don't quite know how good he is, but Guitafane sets the standard. He's versatile regarding ground as well. He won his maiden on good to firm. Of course, it was very soft when he was second to Shalar in Deauville. But he's very ground-wise. It doesn't really matter to him.
Yeah.
Sets a clear standard. You know, he's a solid Group One performer. He's going to take a lot of beating because of the rest. We pretty much know about them. Independence Day is a useful colt, but he was readily beaten by Bear Cheek at the Curragh last time. Logout Island was a clear-cut winner on debut at Ascot, was runner-up in Norfolk, of course, but has disappointed on three occasions since. And the same applies to Ornate, who was fourth in the listed race at York next time, but looked green, might progress again, but he's, once again, you'd have to think he's going to come up short against a solid Group 1 performer in Gwitafane. So the first race at Doncaster, Gwitafane is a strong favourite for me and is going to take all the beating.
Okay. Next up is the 2:30. It's the Mallard Handicap over the extended 1 mile and 6 furlong trip. 10 runners going to post for this. A really intriguing race, this one, Ollie. There's quite a few that you could give chances to. You've got a real mix of older horses that have been there and done that. I mean, Forgotten Voice up at the top there, an admirable performer. But then you've got the three-year-olds down at the bottom, Future Empire, Polarization, and Not Never. Polarization beat Not Never last time, last time that Not Never ran. Polarization has been on the go since. Plenty that you could give chances to here. I wouldn't say it's a fantastic race, but it's competitive.
Yeah, it's very competitive. Obviously, you mentioned it there, Alex. Polarization reopposes Not Never, but Not Never is £9 better off than the race at York when, of course, they took each other on in the Melrose. He's only beaten ahead on that occasion, Not Never, Hugo Palmer's horse. He was successful on his handicap debut at Chester. It was a little bit disappointing on his second start, but had a three-month break to and ran really well at York on his next run. As I say, he's getting £9 better off with Polarization, who, of course, has franked the form since winning at Hamilton, then was third at Ascot. So that is real rock-solid form. And I think Not Never is probably the one to beat here. As you say, Alex, not the strongest of races, but fiercely competitive. You could give a shout to a lot of these. Forgotten Voice is still very capable on his day. He's a 10-year-old now, but he's not won in 2 years, but was right in the thick of things at Glorious Goodwood last time. He's only gone up a pound for that, so you could see him being competitive, especially off this mark. We've already made mention of Polarization. He continues to hold his form, a typical Mark Johnson improver. And of the rest, you know, there's loads we could make mention of here. Future Empire deserves to get his head back in front. He was only beaten a neck by Pressure Point at Musselburgh last month. Pressure Point for me now looks pretty high in the weight, so the golfing colt could well come out on top today, Future Empire. So if you were looking at the match bets on the William Hill website, he would be a way to look. But once again, man, I'm drawn to the bottom horse here, Not Never. I think that Polarization form in the Melrose at York is rock solid. He's £9 better off with that horse now, who's franked the form at Hamilton since. And I think at around about 4-1, that would be where my money would be going.
Okay, the Doncaster Cup is up next. It's the 3:05, Group 2 over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. I think we've had classier renewals of this race, Holly. But that said, once again, it is competitive. It's just trying to find out which horses are truly Group 2 standard. There aren't many. Do you go for the established performers or maybe a lurker that could be better than he's shown so far?
Yeah, I think I'd be looking at something that's been running in handicaps of the younger generation and take on the older horses. Let's make mention of the older horses first. Of course, we've got Old Condor Warrior in there. Real smart stayer. He's won 5 flat starts for his current yard, including handicaps at Royal Ascot and at Galway this year. Was disappointing favourite in the Ebor, though. That would be a worry for me, because in the Ebor at York, the ground was pretty similar to what he's going to encounter tomorrow. Of course, it's half a mile further, which is going to help him, but that was a bad run in the Ebor. On jockey bookings, he looks the pick for Willie Mullins. Willie's got 2 runners in the race. His other is Simenon. Did well to finish a close 4th in the Ascot Gold Cup when he was probably arguably left with a little bit too much to do, but was well held at Goodwood and at York since, and certainly on the jockey bookings with Frankie Dettori on board Clondor Warrior, you'd argue he is the second string of the 2 Mullins runners. The other older horses in here, Kalan for Sabrina Harty and Lee Roach, stepped up markedly on anything he'd shown previously. We won a close 3rd in last year's renewal. He's only had 1 outing this year, but others look a lot more solid, but clearly had this race in mind. Time's up. Smart stare at his best. Won this in 2012 and, of course, 2013, but was well held in this last year and has looked a shadow pretty much of his former self this year. So we're drawn to the younger generation. And the one that I'm drawn to most is Seymour for Brian Ellison. Dual hurdle scorer who opened his flat account for his current handler, Brian, at Haydock. Ran really well from a poor draw in Northumberland plate and was back to winning ways at Ascot last time. Remains far and away the least exposed in the field. And at a pretty decent price, I think he'll be tomorrow. Mm. I'm going to take a tentative selection with him. Another one who's open to more improvement, of course, is Fun Mac for Hughie Morrison and Robert Havlin. Hugh Morrison's got a great record in staying races. He improved markedly when slamming his rivals in a mile Salisbury handicap on his return, and again took that form to another level when he was a close second to Clondor Warrior in the Ascot Stakes. Excuses at Goodwood last time, on ground he wouldn't have liked. You'd fancy him. He's got 2 weeks off to put that form well behind him and run a big race. So I do think it's between a couple of unexposed four-year-olds. I would just side with Seymour over Fun Mac.
Okay, Seymour the pick then in the Doncaster Cup. And the final race we're going to look at is the 340. It's the Mayhill Stakes, a Fillies Group 2 contest over the straight mile. And I thought this was really, really tricky, this one, Ollie. I didn't think there was a standout, so to speak. A lot of nice fillies, once again, but nothing that really sort of grabbed my attention.
Having said that, Alex, I think there's one in here who could be potentially very, very good indeed.
Okay, which one's that?
And that comes in the form of Pure Diamond for Sidebin Soror and James Doyle for the Godolphin team. Ran pretty well on debut, but was very much improved when bolting up in a Kempton maiden. Cassiopeia has franked the form since. That was second, Charlie Fellow's horse, and that, of course, runs in the Champagne Stakes on Saturday. So that form could well be franked on Friday for the Cassiopeia in the Champagne Stakes on Saturday. And Godolphin have a form through Cassiopeia with Comicass. I know Comicass is very well held in high regard by Godolphin, so I think they pretty much know where this filly by Street Cry is. I think she could be something pretty special. She's got a very good pedigree, as most Godolphin fillies have. And I know when Ken Peterson was there, I was in the studio, he thought this was a really, really smart filly.
Okay. And he's not usually a fan of
he's not.
The Godolphin,
he's not a big fan of the boys in blue. But no. Pure Diamond looked a really good prospect when she won at Kempton. As I say, that Cassiopeia form, I'm a big fan of the second myself. And Godolphin have got a very good recent record in this race. Hawksmoor should improve again, Upton Trip, and he's feared most ahead of Turret Rocks. But for me, this would be my best bet of the day. Pure Diamond for Godolphin, Sidebin Soror and James Doyle.
Okay, Pure Diamond, the nap selection then in the 340. Great stuff, Ollie. Some good stuff on Friday. Enjoy it. Enjoy all the Saturday's racing as well, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, my friend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.